Hey there, it's Dane Reinhardt bringing you the President's Perspective, a conversation between current and future leaders of NAHU.
So this week, we're very, very lucky to have our friend Emma Fox of ePowered Benefits with us. Emma is a longstanding member of NAHU from Oregon, ideally moving to a far better state, and is also in the path to be one of our committee chairs next year for President Stark once he takes over. I could probably do a much better, much bigger, much more in-depth introduction of Emma, but it's probably best that I don't. So Emma, welcome.
Thank you guys for having me. That was a pretty decent introduction, actually, as far as they go.
Yeah, I know, I set a low bar. So part of the reason we wanted to have you on was to talk about some of the stuff you're doing with mentorship and chapter leadership development. But also, I think Dane and I have enjoyed talking to people about their real lives outside of NAHU. And a lot of time around the theme of what people are doing that's different. And so once you spend a couple of minutes talking about your business and what you do and the kind of clients you work with and how that really is making a difference.
Sure. Well, thanks for giving me a few minutes. I didn't know I'd have the opportunity to talk about that, but it's one of my favorite topics outside of leadership. So I'm happy to go over it. You know, it's funny. I just got off of a call this morning right before this one with a company that provides a national network based on Medicare reimbursement prices. And so I'm on kind of this high this morning, like I found a solution to the problem in my particular business, which is that my agency, ePowered, works with self-funded employers of all sizes. And historically, we've been a reference-based pricing only sort of setup where we don't use any networks, we don't use the discount methodology, we provide open access, and we try really hard to steer into high quality and known cost environments. And over the last couple of years, while we've had really incredible success with some of our clients taking that model and taking that approach, what we have been finding is that some people think they have the stomach for it initially. And then 3-4 months into the plan, it's just hard. It's really difficult for employers sometimes, and particularly for employees, especially if you don't have the bandwidth to spend a lot of time on education. And so I've been looking for some kind of middle ground to evolve, not necessarily take steps back, but to provide options. And so that's what my business does. And we're constantly growing. We have clients all around the country, mostly in North Carolina, which I think you plugged is where I might be moving later this year. And that's what we do. And outside of that, I try really hard to stay active in leadership forums and communities. But all the rest of my time is taken up by family and NAHU for the most part.
So Emma, I don't really know your NAHU story terribly well, if at all. When did you get involved and how? And I know you're now working actively with Keith in chapter leadership and development. So maybe how you got to where you are from wherever you came from, if you would.
Sure. You know, I think I have a similar story to most people, which is that it was purely by accident. But actually, I was recruited into the Portland Association of Health Underwriters back in, maybe 2013, 2014. And it came because I was a carrier rep for a regional insurance carrier out here. And I had a meeting with a guy named Tim Rash in his office, and he was a consultant. And I remember being in that meeting with him, trying to make some traction. And he looked me deadpan in the face and said, "I'm not working with you unless you're a member of NAHU." And I was like, "What is NAHU? What is it? What should I do?" And he kind of broke it down for me and said, it's really important that all my partnerships embrace this association. It's an important part of industry and your profession. And it was completely new to me. And he said, you know, we have a spot on the media committee, so you can help the media chair. And it was something that I was, you know, media sounds interesting to me and a little bit sensational. And so I started there. And then the following year, I became the Spring Forum Chair. So I held the big event that Portland Association holds every year. We had really fabulous success. And then from there, I just moved up to President-elect, President, past President. And then I started working more on the National Committee for Chapter Leadership Development as a committee member. And this year, I am Vice Chair. So it's just kind of every year, it's taken a little bit more of a step, more of a step. I love the association. I truly credit the association with the growth in my career, almost exclusively, for sure.
I do think it's interesting, that idea about how it changes our lives. I've had this conversation with people lately about how the people you meet, but also I think creating the environment to think of ideas and to really think outside the box is something I've really appreciated myself.
Yeah, for sure. And the association provides a little bit more than just straightforward networking. Although I will say, and I've said it before, that networking is half the battle. I feel like I learn more about our industry and legislation and changes and proposals from networking with other people and having those conversations. And I don't know that I would have had that opportunity had I not been part of the association. But lately, especially the last few years with some of the leadership we've had, you know, Pat Griffey, for instance, and certainly Dane, and I'm looking forward to Eugene and Kelly as well. But I feel like the association is growing in terms of what it's putting out there. It's moving towards education for non-traditional plan designs. And that is great for me because I think what the association's really done for me is it's taught me everything that I really wanted to know. And then it's given me an opportunity to turn around and teach what other people need to know. And that's been really what's kept me in the association for this long.
Yeah, and that's important. The ability for us to continue to push the envelope of the tent. If we're able to bring in people because our tent's broader for whatever reason, and they get engaged, then through their engagement, there are more people to teach and more people to lead. And we definitely, over the last couple of years, have broadened our visionary footprint. We're thinking bigger than we had been. And it's not dissimilar from the whole experience of living through COVID and working through COVID. It's like things that we're doing now with clients and coworkers are things that we were like, ah, that would never work. And we were forced to do it, and it works. You know, like having a virtual podcast recording. So the necessity of membership and revenue decreasing forced us to really challenge status quo. And that's been the driver to the incremental change that's been really good to see in the organization.
Absolutely. I agree with that totally.
One of the things that I'm really glad that you're doing chapter leadership development, not only because you understand that being a leader is probably one of the best things we get out of being a part of this association, but I know I really appreciated what you did for the leadership forum before CAP conference and bringing so many different unique voices that we need to hear and that we need to recognize are out there. I did want to talk a little bit about your commitment to leadership development and particularly the mentorship program, because I think it's such a good idea, and not because I somehow got suckered into being a part of it, but because I think it's probably the best way for us to become better leaders as people.
Yeah, well, thank you for agreeing to be suckered into it. You know, even though I occasionally voluntold you, you still stepped up to the plate. And not only are you in the mentorship program, but you're in the Leadership Academy too, which I'm sure we'll talk about later. And listen, everyone's volunteering, right? Dane's volunteering, you're volunteering, and I'm coming to you asking you to do more. And the fact that you say yes is pretty phenomenal. But the mentorship program was sort of born because when I joined the Chapter Leadership Development Committee, we had some really good ideas and really great strategy, but it felt like none of it was being executed very well. And it really came from people just having other commitments. And so what I will say about the pandemic is that it has given me more time to dedicate to things I really care about. And one of those things is leadership. So when Eugene said, you know, what do you want to do? He might have been the first person around the committee that just looked right at me and said, what do you want to achieve while you're chair? And I said, I'd love to build programs, actual training. And you and I, Smith, talked about how we'd love to drop the chapter part of chapter leadership development, because I firmly believe that we can't develop our chapters until we develop our people. And so the goal of the mentorship program is to provide someone who's walked the path before, who's faced all the challenges and gone about it the messy way and got through it, and give those people to our incoming leaders for support, for encouragement, for guidance, for mentorship. So the program was crafted. It's by application, and application is actually open now through the end of April. It goes live on July 1, and we have 20 NAHU leaders or senior NAHU members who have walked the walk, like I said, who are agreeing to be a mentor to someone who's stepping into a position and really wants to become an excellent leader. So it's one of two pretty big initiatives coming out of chapter leadership development this year and through next year. And working with Keith Wallace and Stacey Fry, who's coming in behind me, has been an exceptional experience. I am really excited. I think it'll provide exactly the type of training, or at least a part of it, that a lot of people are looking for when they step into these positions.
I agree. And I think Dane and I talked, I remember actually, I think we were driving from Portland to Seattle. This might have been the summer before I really knew who you were. And we'd come there to do self-funded, advanced self-funded class. And we were talking about the fact that so many people walk into the jobs with no institutional knowledge. And so you kind of feel almost caught by surprise by the things that had somebody just been there to, for you to bounce something off of would have never happened. I'm so excited about the mentorship program because I think it will get people past that, a little bit of that learning delay that happens, so that they're ready to go maybe quicker, but also not feeling so alone.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, I don't know if everyone agrees with me, but I think leadership is subjective. I think it's individualized depending on who you are. I think Dane has a different style of leading the association than presidents who have come before him. And that appeals to some people. Maybe it doesn't appeal to others. I don't know. But you have to give people the opportunity to tap into their skills, which are not going to be the same as the person next to them. And so the idea of both the Leadership Academy, that's a true training program, and the mentorship program is supposed to give people the technical training that they need to be a Nahu leader, and then the mentoring they need to really tap into the skills that they already have that you can't really train on a literal basis anyway. So the other initiative that we have going on, which is a much bigger undertaking than the mentorship program, is the Leadership Academy. So this really is a big one, and I'm really hopeful that we can roll it out 7-1, just like the mentorship program. But one of the things that we heard after the leadership forum, and prior to that too, in terms of feedback, was that people don't feel like we're delivering actual training to them. And literally, like, how do you run a chapter? How do you balance the books of a chapter? How do you amend bylaws? Or how do you speak publicly if you're in a media chair position, stuff like that? And so we created the Nahu Academy. Smith is another volunteer there. He's one of the teachers. I forget which part you're teaching, Smith, off the top of my head. I want to say it's not committee delegation, that's Mordo. I know you're doing one of the modules, but we came up with 12 topics of leadership training. And again, we went out to Nahu leaders and we just asked them, would you be willing to record a training module and then teach it live to people who want to enroll in the Nahu Leadership Academy? And everyone said, yeah. It's truly been amazing what people have said yes to. And so those recordings will eventually be up on the Nahu website if people want to binge watch it over the weekend, if anyone's sick of Netflix by now. Or every single month, we will hold one of those sessions live with that teacher. And the cool thing about this is that we're actually delivering true leadership training throughout the year. But that training, if you're sitting on a board, for example, you're, I don't know, treasurer, ledge chair, whatever the case might be, if you complete the Nahu Leadership Academy, you'll get a bunch of extra award credits for your chapter to apply to. And we'll do a graduate ceremony at the next annual convention in 2022. We're hoping to maybe get a certification somewhere down the line, but these programs are really designed to grow our people so that our association will be led by people who've gotten both technical training and inspirational mentorship at the same time. So the two programs do go hand in hand, and they've been a pretty big undertaking, but super fun to develop.
I love how you've tied CLD to awards and some of the other things that we do, because there's so much overlap that we do, that the ability for us to tear down silos and include the other areas that we do, because they all touch each other, the membership, CLD, awards, DEI, they're all interconnected. So that's great that you connected the awards piece in and got that done as quickly as you did.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. What you just said totally backed up what my vision has been, which is that if you look at a board, just, you know, a local or a state board, every single position has a place or a task or some responsibility that makes up a much bigger initiative for that board, for that state, for the association. And I try to think, you know, a lot of the leadership programs that I've developed with Keith have been based on the Triple Crown Award. Hopefully this makes sense to you guys, but I always think of that as a great example of how things have to work together. If you go for the Triple Crown, you do the Operation Shout. So you're working on something legislative. You're recruiting members. So you're working on membership, right? Like, we have these little guide maps through our awards process that show us exactly what to do and how many different components go into truly making a dent in the association. And I think that's what we need to do with leadership too. And so I want to involve as many chairs as I can, because I don't think anyone is immune from it or should be. I think we should all be teaching each other. So thank you for validating that for me, at least.
One of the great parts, I think, coming out of the 9 months of Dane's tyranny as president has been the fact that we really have focused on the fact that everything that we do connects, right? And so membership is nothing more than the ability to explain to people how important our advocacy is, how our professional development delivers what it does, and make us all better professionals.
I agree with you guys completely. I like to think that the programs that we've developed here will attract people to the association, so we can touch a little bit on membership. If we're offering people a leadership academy, that's a big deal, because not all of the topics are specific to Nahu. For example, we've got Amy Evans is a Nahu member, and she's teaching a module on sales training. You can apply that outside of Nahu too. We have public speaking is one of the topics. And then you have things like how to actually manage a chapter, which is certainly Nahu facing. But we're hoping that this will be attractive to people in our industry, particularly newer folks that are coming in. I've said this before, and specifically around some of David Mordo's posts on LinkedIn, but I believe that we do need the veterans with the newbies. I think we all kind of need to co-mingle and work together. Like, we can't do it by ourselves. And when I was describing what my agency does, I can't do that without the help of the association, which is made up largely of people who write traditional business. But I have no idea what I'm doing in that realm. And so I truly believe that we develop leaders by commingling everybody all together. So I hope the programs touch on a little bit of everything. I hope we're working with awards for credits, we're working with a PD on a certification, and we're engaging some people who have an opportunity, like you, Smith, to step in and be a mentor to an incoming leader, which hopefully inspires you in some way too, right? So let's keep our fingers crossed that it all actually shakes out that successfully, because right now it's mostly on paper. So Dane, I hope you know that once you step down from the president's position, you're going to get an email from me asking you to volunteer for both of these programs. The only reason I haven't targeted you is because you have a much bigger job that you're dealing with right now, but I totally plan on asking for your volunteerism after this year.
I'd be honored and happy to support. If I can be of use, I will absolutely give you my time. I'd love to see us take our leadership training and our professional development, and this is where it all connects. If we could somehow use our media relations and social media teams to build the brand, to get the awareness, to get the people involved, to use the locals, to include the other ones that are locally more active in certain areas. I'm sure there are chapters of NAFA or SHRM that do cross over more in certain parts of the country. Best of practices to be able to have your amazing leadership training, which is really sort of in the infancy stage of what it could be, become something that's best in class. And who knows, maybe we're the leader in leadership training, and you've got the roll-ups, all the alphabet houses that are like, we should be using NAHU for leadership training for all our new people, whatever it is. Sort of that's the dream I can dream, but that's not happening tomorrow or the next day, but love to see something like that. Like, I don't care if you're a member. I don't. I'd love to have people be members. But if you want to buy stuff from us, totally down with that. If we had 100,000 people that wanted to buy stuff from us every year, revenue is revenue, and it builds our brand, our association, and then ultimately, hopefully, take it into the point where we're regularly on some sort of national platform where you cannot have an election discussion without having NAHU be center. Like right now, we as an organization are definitely, not only do we have a seat at the table, but we're being invited to the table to sit there. But it would be nice if there was enough of an awareness when they're talking about that the talking heads had one of us meaning members. Like, I don't know why NHU isn't on the talking head circuit at least once a week, every week for the entire year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And I think your leadership has made tremendous strides in that direction. I think we have evolved over the last few years, and it's been incredible to watch. I think it started under Mike Embry's leadership and continued through Pat Griffey and through you in particular. And I see the future of Nahu being exactly on that path. And I don't know why we're not the flagship association for the industry, because I've looked into other memberships. There's nothing aside from Nahu that provides a little bit of everything that you need to really get up and going and be successful in this business. And I truly believe that. And listen, it's not perfect. You guys don't always say the things that I wish you would say, but I love the diversity of it. And I don't see myself stepping out anytime soon. And I really attribute much of that to your leadership for the last 9 months. So I hope you feel like you've made a difference, because you certainly have to members like me. And I'm excited. Like, all of these programs I developed, I got no pushback whatsoever. I was expecting someone to be like, whoa, 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 you can't just go off and develop training programs without all this red tape. But they truly embraced me. The entire association said, let's do it. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate that.
That is awesome. And I'm smiling because I had the similar experience with this podcast. I just started doing it. I didn't ask for permission. I just said, can I get hold of someone? And Dan's been great. Nobody has said that these are the rules of doing a podcast, and these are what you can and can say and who you can have on. Like, I mean, I'd like to take some credit for it, but I'm not going to take any. I think a lot of it too, Emma, is this COVID mentality. Like, well, we have to do stuff differently. So, okay, you know, let's just try it. People are so much more open-minded to anything because they've been forced to change everything else in their life. To me, that's been one of the biggest blessings of COVID, is just getting people to do and think differently because they have to.
Your podcast being a perfect example, and not just your podcast, but when you first became president, I remember you and I had a discussion about how even the setup of the magazine, the month that you became president, America Benefit Specialist magazine, and you know, I think you wore Converse, right, with your suit or whatever. And we were talking about how you have this flair, you have this style of leadership that isn't always traditional. And if this isn't a perfect example of the association saying, like, be the leader you are meant to be, I don't know what is. I'm so thankful that it has trended this way. It hasn't always been this way. And I think people will agree. The strides that the association has taken, largely due to your leadership and some before you, has been really incredible.
Well, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you. So thanks for joining us.
No, thank you guys for having me. Applications for the mentor program are up on the website. It's just through the month of April. There's only 20 spots. So if we get more than 20 applications, not everybody's going to get in the program. We already have quite a few, which I'm super pleased about. You know, I had that worry, like, no one's going to apply, but a few people actually did. So it would be great to get a few more. And thank you, Dane, for letting me crash. I really appreciate it.
It's our pleasure, and thanks. And maybe you'll see you on this side of the country sometime soon.